Get your Bible. We'll be turning to Mark chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 1 through 9. Then we'll drop down to verse 23 through 29. Amen. Certainly, I won't hold you long. Get straight to the point. Not a long-winded preacher. Praise God. But first of all, I want to talk to you this morning. If there was ever a time to respond to the clarion call from heaven, listen to me carefully. That time is now. A clarion call is a strong request for something to happen or to be done. Let me repeat that again. If there was ever a time to respond to the clarion call from heaven, that time is now. A clarion call is a strong request for something to happen or to be done. So I want to talk to you this morning, or rather ask you a question. Are you responding or just existing? Are you responding or you just existing? Let's read the text. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Then we'll drop down to 23 through 29. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. And we understand that a parable is an earthly story that has a spiritual meaning. Yes, sir. Amen? He said, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprung up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And the other fell on good ground and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that have ears to hear, let him hear." Let's drop down to verse 23. "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle, because the harvest is come." The theme of the parable that Jesus was explaining dealt with four different responses to the gospel. And my interpretation of these four different responses is that it was four different people that were responding to what he was talking about in this parable. Person number one represents the wayside. And what wayside means is to fail to continue or drop out. My God. So here it is. You got this first person had a spirit of dropping out, had a spirit of not continuing on. And I don't know about you, but once I tasted and seen for myself, not what my grandmama told me, or big mama, or my auntie, or my grandpa, or my preaching uncle, whoever the case may be, but once I tasted and seen for myself, I knew immediately that I was never going to drop out. I was never going to not to continue. Yes, I've missed the mark on many of occasions. And maybe that's the reason why sometimes I just hit 30. And on another occasions, when I grasped what the word was really saying to me, then maybe that elevated me to 60. We'll get to it in a minute. But person one represents the wayside. This person is hardened by sin. He hears but does not understand the word, and Satan plucks the message away, keeping the heart dulled and preventing the word from making an eternal impression. See, I understand now to where I am now that the word made an impression on me.
Yes, sir.
And when the word makes an impression on you and you start taking heed to what it is actually saying to you, then change takes place. In other words, conversion is manifested in you. Because when you believe what the word says,
yeah,
and you begin to apply the word,
yeah,
then change starts taking place. There's a root that takes place in the ground. But this wayside person, he didn't understand what was being presented to him. Because it was something that was blocking the entrance or the internal impression that was being trying to be made to him. And that was sin. Sin had this person hardened. They'll come to church and they'll listen in, but they have no idea, even as practical as the word. And I try to preach the word to where it's practical, to where you can get an understanding of what I'm actually saying. I don't want you to leave here and you ask, well, what was he saying? Because different preacher has different styles. But I don't want to come to you with eloquent of speech and using big words and terminology, but I want to make it plain and simple that you can actually understand what I'm saying to you. This wayside person was hardened by sin, and whatever was being presented to him, which is the word, not whatever, but the word was being presented to him to make an internal impression. What do I mean by internal impression? Because how many people want to go to heaven?
Amen.
And so the word gives you the ability to follow after what God is saying to you, that you lean not to your own understanding, but you acknowledge him in all your ways, not some of your ways.
Oh.
We eat the whole scroll,
yeah,
not just some of it. The person number two represents stony ground. This person professes to delight in the word, but his heart is not changed. And when trouble comes, his so-called faith quickly disappears. You know those ones that it seems like they're all spiritual and they've given you advice one time or another. But they're just stony Christians. They're just stony people that actually profess to delight in the word of God, but all kind of things come their way, they're not able to handle things. The difference between a saved person and an unsaved person is a saved person has gotten the word on the inside of them, and now they're able to deal with things that come their way. Because being saved doesn't mean you're not going to have no problems.
Amen.
Being saved not doesn't mean you're not going to have marital problems.
Yeah.
Being saved doesn't mean you're not going to have financial problems.
Yes,
being saved doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems with your children.
Being saved. See, I don't want to sugarcoat anything. Being saved don't mean that you're not going to lose some close loved ones, your mother, your father, your wife, your siblings, and all these type of things. But being saved teaches you how to deal with those things. If you continue to delight in God and whatever you're going through, that you could take it to Him. Because we believe what He said in 1 Peter 5 and 7, that if we cast all our cares upon Him, then He cared for us. And then we also understand that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. But all we have to do is enter into His rest. And we don't have to carry around all these problems and all these things that we can't deal with. But we can take it to the Father. Because our resources are readily available to us. And we can go to Him to help us. Because we can look to the hills which cometh our help. We know that our help comes from God. We know that He is a shield and a buckler. We know that He is a present help in trouble. We know that He is a high tower. And so being saved, we learn how to deal with all the trials and tribulations that comes our way. But being an unsaved person, they'll go around and seek in the seat of the scornful. They'll go and seek counsel for those that don't know how to deal with that because they're not saved. And you're going to get advice from people that don't know that He is in high tower. They'll just throw it around like a cliche. We know God, but they really don't believe it. The stony person, they'll appear to have delight in the word, but when the problems come, they can't deal with it. And so they forget who is our present help in trouble. They forget that we can run into the fortified walls. Y'all remember how they built the fortified? Read your Bible. Do your research on what a fortified wall did. And what they did was they ran into protection. A fortified wall protected them from the enemy. It protected them from things that was trying to harm them. And so what they did was they built these fortified. Y'all don't look at the movies. Y'all done seen all these 300. Y'all done seen all them different movies. Troy and all that. How they had them big cities and they was trying to infiltrate. But those was fortified walls that the enemy couldn't come in and penetrate. Person number three represents thorny ground, who seems to receive the word, but his heart is full of riches, pleasures, lust. The things of the world take his time and attention away from the word, and he ends up having no time for it. I love this. I love that. I want to do this. I want to make that. And when you think about the 30, 60, 100 fold, if you hear a preacher talking about applying that to money, if you give $10, if you send me a gift of $10 and you'll reap $1,000, that's not the right teaching. That's false teaching. Because it has nothing to do with money. Some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. That ain't got nothing to do with money. Pressed down, shaking together, running over, men will give into your bosom. It don't have nothing to do with money, but it was talking about forgiveness. See, we got to quit playing with the Bible.
All right.
We got to quit taking the Bible out of context, because here it is, you caught up, and I could see some preachers that could be just like this, that they're concerned about how many people in the room. But this who in the room is supposed to be in the room, and I'm good with that. I'm going to preach the same if it's 1,000 or if it's just 3 people. Because I'm not preaching so I can get a lot of money.
Yes,
that's why I got 2 jobs.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I preach the gospel. And I cannot run like Jonah. Because I know that God called me to do this.
Yes, sir.
And I'm preaching because I have a concern for people to understand that I don't want you to be a wayside person. I don't want you to be a stony ground person. I don't want you to be a thorny ground person and get caught up. And next thing you know, it might be too late, because I don't know one person in this room that knows when their time is going to be up. We're given an allotted time. Right now, it's a beginning and a dash in the middle. And the dash in the middle is the time that you're living. There's always going to be an ending period.
Yes, sir.
But even in my sleep, he said, those that are asleep shall be risen first. And then those, he says, and then the ones that still here are going to be caught up. And we've learned that in Bible study that the rapture is not in the Bible, but what is?
Caught up.
Caught up is. See, I want to be able to be ready because I want to be like the fourth person. And the fourth person represents good ground. It's the one who hears, understands, and receives the word, and then allows the word to accomplish its results in his life.
Amen.
That's good ground. So, the actual word goes through a maturation period. Blade, ear, and then the full grain. Didn't we read it in the text? Because the word is seed. It depends on our hearing, then our response to what we hear. Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's a two-part thing to that, because the first one is actually hearing what has been spoken. And the second part is responding to what you hear. And so I impose the question on you this morning. Are you responding or are you just existing?
Wow, that's good, Pastor.
Because we have to respond to what God has said.
Right.
If we want to be able to get or to accomplish the results in our lives. So, until the believer put into action what they hear, they will never experience the full grain of the seed. People have been stuck on 30. When you talk about the 30, 60, 100-fold principle. In other words, they've been at the blade of faith, so to speak. Does that make sense? That same old blade each year when they should be experiencing the ear and the full grain. It's a tough process to get to 100-fold. Why do I say that? Because in scripture, Jesus was explaining to the rich young ruler on how to inherit the kingdom. Y'all remember the story. Jay, turn to that story. It's in, I believe it's in Mark. I think I wrote it down. Mark 10. But I'm going to be sharing verses 29 and 30. Because that tells you how to get a 100-fold return. A 100-fold blessing. See, because preachers going up there with like prosperity preachers. We're not going to listen to that. Because 30, 60, 100-fold has nothing to do with money. So if you go and somebody's speaking, if you sold $100, then you're gonna reap $1,000. Don't listen to that, because I've done it before, because I didn't know no better.
Yeah.
But when I started looking into the scripture for myself and started finding out what the scripture was actually saying to me, then I realized that that was just something to pump people up that really needed their $100, and they never was gonna get $1,000 back. Because whatever I've already sown, I never did get it back when I sold into it. And me and my wife done went to places. We went to different places. We was in Houston and so, and we ain't still. And it's been years, been passed by, and we still ain't got nothing back from it. The only return that we've got is that we went and swiped our card and got on the clock. Trust me, people of God, I'm not up here to fool you after money. Do you hear me talking about it a lot? I don't even talk about it that much. Because that's between you and God. But what I want to tell you is that the rich young ruler ran up to Jesus because he was talking with his disciples and the young children came. I'm just giving you a summary of the chapter. And the young children was running up to him and they was trying to make the young children go away. And he said, suffer not the little ones to come unto me. He said, because what I want you to do is give you interest into what I'm actually talking about. And to really be kingdom minded, you got to be just like one of them. And then as you read down in chapter 10, he said that Jesus brought him and set him on his lap. And he's right now talking with him. And the Bible says that he blessed them and sent them on his way. And then here come the rich young ruler. He was running up. And he was bragging on himself. Can I say it like that? And he said that I've been observing these because Jesus started naming out some things. He said he was talking about adultery. And he was talking about fornication. He was talking about all these different type of things. And then the rich young ruler was saying, okay, I've observed that since I was a youth. See, I was in Sunday school band and all that kind of stuff. And I've been reading my Bible. And I've been keeping the commandments. I'm just talking. Can I paraphrase? And he said, but I tell you one thing, since you've been doing, that's good that you go to church. That's good that you read your Bible. That's good that you're not committing adultery. That's good. He said, but if you got, you still lack one thing. He said, if you're going to sell all that you have, because he knew that he loved his stuff. Can I go back to the one of the other persons that he loved, the pleasures and the riches? See, that's why that rich young ruler, he'll fall up under that third person. He'll fall up under that thorny ground. He loved the pleasures and the lust of things. He said, man, but you lack one thing. Jesus breaking him off. He said, you lack one thing. He said, if you truly want to inherit the kingdom, if you truly want to get this 100-fold, he said, I'm going to tell you what you ought to do. He said, you ought to go sell all that you have. And then guess what he told him to do? He said, I want you to go give all that you have and give it to the poor. And then pick up the cross and fall out of me. See, because what I want you to do is get rid of the stuff that's keeping you away from me. That's keeping you from being committed to me. So I want you to be attached to your new ride. I don't want you to be attached to your new clothes. I don't want you to be attached to your real nice rope that you got around. I don't want you to be attached to your nice looking watch. See, I'm not crazy about my watch. It ain't even, the battery going out. I just got it on my fetch. Y'all thought I was keeping time, but I ain't worried about time. I just want to preach the gospel. Y'all think I got a real nice watch, but the battery don't even work. Go! He said, you lack one thing.
Yes,
God. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Because the Bible says that him that gives to the poor will never lack. See, what God wants us to do is to help our folk.
Yes, sir. Right. I love it. Right. I love it. Preach it fast. Yes.
And then we go to verse 29. Go to 29 and then we'll read. He said, I'm going to show you how to get 100-fold. He says, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake. See, because when you look at these relationships we're having a great attachment to. Now, some fathers and sons don't get along. Some mothers and daughters don't get along. Some sons and mothers don't get along. So we got to understand that. But for the most part, we love our mother. I don't care what they know, we love them. And so we attest to them. So he was trying to show him and explain to him. He said, man, these relationships, and then he was talking about lands and all that. That's an investment, right? Yeah. He says, for my sake, and the gospels. He said, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses. See, this spiritual stuff right here. Brethren. See, your hard-headed brother that don't like you. See, God will give you some spiritual brothers that love you. So what he's saying that even when you gave up that stuff, you're not going to worry about the house. Because I'm a provider for you. And wherever you go, there's going to be shelter. Wherever you go, you're going to have a relationship. You're going to have real brothers that love you. He said, you're going to have houses. He said, you're going to have brethren. You're going to have sisters and mothers.
Your mother could be already gone to glory, but he'll give you a new spiritual mother. That'll cook for you. That'll cook roast and potatoes and green beans. And all. He said that. He said, I'll give you children. People that look up to you. I remember I was at a camp. And I get back to finishing up the verse. I was at a camp. And I did an illustration to the young campers. And what I did was I built a church out of cardboard boxes. And what I did was, there was a whole camp full of kids. And I made index cards out of the fruits of the Spirit. And what I did was, I randomly passed out the fruits of the Spirit. And then I made a slit up inside of the roof of the church. And what I was teaching them was that we are the church. And I started telling them, I said, not the building, but the church. I said, who are the church? And they started repeating, we are the church. That was exciting. Full participation. I say, who are the church? We are the church. I say, where my love at? And they, I say, you have to look on your card when I call it out. I say, y'all come put it in the church. And I say, where love at? And they, oh, I got love. I say, y'all come on and put it in the church. I say, who are the church? We are the church. And they'll drop love in there. And after the presentation, we had fun. We was down there, I think it was in Stanton, Texas. And after everything was over, the little boy came up to me. And he tapped me. He was a little buddy boy. And he tapped me. And I looked down and he said, I want to be a God man like you. Oh, man. Wow. Woo! Wow. What are you talking about? Wow. You talking about move me? Yes. That this little boy was paying so close of attention. He got the message. He knew that he was the church. He realized what I was doing, that I was there to help them and not take away nothing from them and to teach them the right way to go. And he came up to me and tapped me on my leg and looked at me. I'm talking about, was serious, because he was humble. You remember when they was trying to run the children away? Suffer not the little children to come. Don't be bothered, Jesus. Now Jesus said, let them come. He said, because I want you to be humble like them. He said, I want to be a God man just like you. Oh, man. Can you imagine him being in a household that continues to teach him the word, that he can be the God man that God wants him to be anyway, and that he can be led in the direction to follow after God and not get caught up on the wayside and not get caught up in stony ground and not get caught up on thorny ground, but to be a good ground person. So when you think about this, the seed, which I've already said, is designed to maturate to the fullest. Each seed produces after its kind. Genesis 1 and 1 says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. I've always emphasized that we have to change our vocabulary from doubt, I'm not really sure, to believe what God has said. I heard that now I'm going to respond by speaking it into the atmosphere. We measure everything we hear, whether it's true or not. It doesn't even matter what the source is. Reporters and journalists always try to confirm whether the news they gather is from a reliable source before they report it. Reason is, if you report false information, it could eventually ruin your career. Y'all remember Peter in the fairy tale, crying wolf? Peter was taking care of the sheep, wasn't he? Yeah. And he started crying. Now, I don't know if he was taking care of the sheep. You got to look at the thing. But I know that he cried wolf, and the people in the town came running because he cried wolf. And when they came, he was laughing. And so he went home, and the tale said that his mama gave him a whooping. Because he had to pee. people because he cried wolf and it wasn't no wolf. And then some time passed by, the people had forgot all about it, and he cried wolf again. And the people came, and when they came, they found him out there, he was laughing again. But
one day,
he seen something going on with the sheep, how the sheep was acting. The sheep knew they sensed danger. And he cried wolf again. And then nobody believed what he said, because he had said it before and it wasn't true. And what happened? I don't know about the story if he got ate up, if they ate up some sheep or whatever the case may be. But I know, oh my God, without a doubt that my God is a reliable source. And if he said it, I agree with it. I believe it. I'm going to respond to it. I'm not going to change my mind. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not going to fall by the wayside. I'm not going to get caught up in the thorns. I'm not going to get caught up in the stony ground. But I must maintain this good ground and continue to press toward a higher calling in him. The person who represented the good ground is the only one of the four who is truly saved. Because salvation's proof is fruit. I don't want to mess you up. Out of those four people, the good ground person is the only one that was truly saved. Can we prove it? Go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. I'm about to be done. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, and he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath of the coming, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Drop down the verse to chapter 7. This is going to sum it all up right here. Chapter 7 in that same book. Chapter 7 verses 15 through 20. Yes. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits, you shall know them. Their coming, their goings, their conversation, how they treat others, that's their fruit. The things they do, that's your fruit. See, The wayside Christian, when you think about this, and Jay, you can put some music on, he's hardened by sin. If he's hardened by sin, he's not going to have a relationship with God. He's hardened by sin, and he might come to church. He might even get involved a little. He might pass out a few boxes. He might do this, he might do that. But he really don't understand the significance of the resources that's readily accessible to him to be able to deal with the various problems that he deals with. But he's so hardened by sin that he's not convicted by anything that he does, by the fruit that is on display that he exhibit on a daily basis. See, When you talk about the two different fountains, don't they talk about that in the Bible? That's the difference. The things that come out of our mouth, the things we say to one another, the unforgiveness, all of these things are fruit that are not pleasing to God. So the wayside person, they fail to continue. This race that we walk, that we run, it's an enduring one. And the Bible declares that those that endure to the end, shall have eternal life. It's not a sprint, because there's a maturation thing that takes place once the seed is planted. Apollos said, and I believe it's in, I want to say it's in Romans, or it's in Corinthians, I believe. He said that I, Apollos, planted. And then the other one came in and he watered. When I started looking at that, I said, my God. Because when you think about this, let's say this church. I founded this church. I started preaching at this church. But the increase will come once I'm long gone.
Oh, here it is, right here.
Because when you think about this, you plant it and then you water it, it's going to be somebody, it might be my grandson that might come in and continue things on. It might be somebody that's in here that's young might continue to come and carry it on. And then it keeps on going on and on and on. And then the increase comes later on and people will begin to reap the benefits of this ministry long before I'm gone. I could be at the Lubbock Cemetery and True Identity Fellowship, hopefully it could continue on. But it was planted, then it was watered, and then God gives the increase. And that's the way it is with us when we bring other folk in. Because we planted, somebody came and watered, then this family, they came in, and then somebody else in that family got it. And then the other, and then next thing you know, a generation of people that are good ground people that comes in. And the people that started it up, that planted the seed, that family that had generational curses because of the influence that directly impacted them. And no longer are there a generation of drug dealers and all this, but now they're a generation of preachers and evangelists, because one planted, one watered, and God gave the increase. And the one that originally planted might not never get to see it, and they might be going on to eternity. But it continues to reciprocate. We got so much to learn about the Bible. Because we've been falsely taught. I don't claim to know everything. But I'm inquisitive about the Bible. And I want to get a full understanding. The Bible says, in all you're getting, get an understanding. And if I've ever said anything that wasn't right, I want to correct it. Come to me, Pastor, what did you? Let's find it together. Because I want to be a good ground Christian. I want to be one that understands, that hears the word, that understands the word, that receives the word, and then allows the word to accomplish its results in his life, in my life. And my grandmother, my big mama, she died in 1976. And she took me to church. She wouldn't let nobody bother me. That's my mother's mother. Only got to be around her for 8 years. But she planted a seed. She talked to me about God. She took me in the atmosphere. And she planted, and somebody came along and they watered my other grandmother. She came along. My other family members, that was my Uncle George, he used to be the pastor at New Hope. And a lot of people, and other people that's in my family. But my big mama, she didn't get to see me sitting up here talking about the gospel and preaching this gospel and having and founding a church and doing the best that I can. But she planted a seed. And she's been gone since 1976. But God gave the increase of a seed that she planted long ago. The greatest inheritance we can leave our children is to plant the word in them. I hope this word was a blessing to you today. Are you responding or just existing? Amen. Let us all stand. God is so good. Before we close, I was thinking about, and God brought it back to my attention. He said that you have to reap what you sow. And God will open up doors that no man can close. And I'm just talking about me. That he got some resources that's readily accessible to me. He said, but some things you're not going to be able to do because of some of the things that you've done in the past. And some of those doors that was already available to you, those doors are going to be closed because of what you've done. He said, because my word is true. He said, you're going to reap what you sow. And so some doors that's been open for me, they're closed. Because I live in this world. And they're not going to let me live it down. Can't you? They're not going to let me live it down. But don't get discouraged, can't you? Because there's still some. See, God ain't going to close every door.
All right.
But there are certain doors you're not going to be able to go, and they're going to say no. And they're going to keep saying no. But that don't mean to give up.
Amen.
See, because I didn't give up. See, because that's a door, that's a specific door. Because when you come back, even when we read in that verse that he said that they brought their fruits unto repentance. And that's what he was talking about. He said now that you done came back around and you got it back right, there's some fruit of repentance that's in place now. And now since the fruit of repentance is in place, I got some doors that's open for you. Because I'm not going to shut down every door. Because you're part of the kingdom. But don't get discouraged because you have to reap what you sow. They won't let me do this. They won't let me have it. They won't let me live it. They won't. You understand, don't you? See. But God got a door. And he'll open that thing up. And it'll blow your mind. Oh man, he blew my mind. Because they say, how did you... Don't ask me nothing that's gone. I know I got to reap what I sow. But God said I can have. And you can call up there and try to sneak and report. Did you know that? God blocked all that. See, because people get to know you as a good ground person. And it don't matter if people go and say stuff about you about something that God has already forgiven. Because I've already had my God, we hear it, we understand it, we receive it, God. And God, we want to perform it, God, that we may be pleasing in your sight, God. We pray for everyone here, God, and our safe travels as we go to our various destination. We pray for those that might be sick in their bodies. We thank you for your healing. We believe your word. We stand up. By your stripes, we were already healed, God. Open up the doors, God, even for kindred, God, and even those that might be in the same position, God. We thank you right now, God, for everything that you're doing in the midst of us, God. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that we respond to your word every time, God. And so, God, we thank you. We praise you for this day that you have made. We rejoice and be glad in. Don't let no hurt, harm, or danger befall upon us, God.